Welcome back to another issue.
I'm Table.
I'm Red.
And it is I, Shino Brando. And in this one, I guess I learn you guys King of Fighters.
So what is King of Fighters? For the completely uninitiated, people who don't even know what that means.
Well, first I'm going to tell you about the company behind King of Fighters. SNK was founded on July 22nd, 1978 by Akichi Kawasaki. SNK stands for Shin Nihon Kikaku, which is literally translated to New Japan Project.
Perfect. Love it. Really the Japanese thing, you're going to get that.
They shortened it to SNK in 1981, which became the standard name in 1986. They would become Playmore in 2001 when the company had gone through some rough financial times, which of course led to a bankruptcy at one point. They were Playmore up until 2003. Then SNK reacquired their goods and became new company SNK Playmore up until 2016. Back in the day, SNK's tagline was "The future is now," which was because their game board, which is equal to what you would call a standard OS nowadays, mm-hmm. was a bit ahead of the time for arcade cabinet. I won't mix it up too much, but their arcade games were giving off graphics way ahead of the competition, and Capcom sat there like scratching their heads, like, well, we're not bad, but we gotta kind of try to match that. And to give you a comparison, Street Fighter 1 wasn't really a breakout hit, right? It was only when Street Fighter 2 kind of took off. And that thing for the time is a graphic gem, right? But you see, they were very stuck on a 2D plane. Mm-hmm. As where the SNK fighters, mainly like Fatal Fury, weren't really... Their sprites weren't in maybe as detailed as Capcom's, but they were able to play with the Spectrum, as where they introduced sidestepping on a 2D plane. Yeah. So your character was able to sidestep while another character kind of went through and come back to the same plane. That way you didn't have to always block. You could just sidestep and dodge. So they were kind of just ahead of things. But before I get ahead of myself, in 2016, when SNK reacquired the company as a whole, they dropped the Playmore name and went back to good old SNK. But now they added Corporation to the name, which in turn brought back their tagline, "The future is now," to signify their rich gaming history. And that they were back and moving forward. So roller coaster life for these guys. They kind of went up and down. And that's the kind of reason why they weren't really a household name on our side of the map, right? Because Capcom kind of took off. And then later on, Namco kind of took off. And SNK had that up and down ride where they had some breakout hits like Akari Warriors, if you're that kind of labyrinth kind of gunner, if you're into that, right?
Right.
Sort of like... Ghosts and Goblins, if you will. But yeah, other than that, it was mainly their fighters. Samurai Showdown was a hit. King of Fighters was a hit for some shores. Yeah, but in North America, just no real pickup. They had Art of Fighting, Fatal Fury, and later on King of Fighters. And these are not the easiest fighting games to get into. In fact, these games are only for big boys and girls, to be honest with you. The reason why Smash Bros. Is even made is because Sakurai trashed a couple on a date when they were playing King of Fighters in an arcade back in 94. He is big into SNK Fighters, so he has a graduate from playing like the Art of Fighting series and Fatal Fury series. So he literally went into that arcade, played a game, trashed a girlfriend in the round, and the boyfriend, to save face, tried his best, and then he tossed him out too. Fun fact, King of Fighters introduced the idea of 3-on-3 combat, so you get to go through one character after the other after each one dies.
Or loses, and that is the Squad Strike in Super Smash Bros.
There you go. You choose a team of three, you pick the order you want to have them fight, and then you go on one-on-one until your characters you're out of characters. So switching the character, you'd have to be defeated to do that. Sakurai chose Terry, and he never had to switch. Think about
That's
that.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gave me three. I only needed one.
Anyways, the gang over at Capcom were pushing out arcade hits, as were the peeps like Namco. Capcom, they had that little gem, Street Fighter. This game, not so good. but still gained, you know, imitators. SNK said, pretty much like, kind of like, hold my beer. And came up with the Neo Geo engine, which is a badass engine, which gives you thick, big sprites too, very detailed, but it's also very, very expensive.
Okay, so the Neo Geo engine, for those unfamiliar, like is the basis in which the Neo Geo console and the Neo Geo Pocket were based on.
Yeah.
The best way to bring the arcade like games of those fighting games, there's even a port of Street Fighter to it, to home in that time was to have a Neo Geo at the time. But the Neo Geo is like, if you adjusted the price for inflation now, it was like $1,200.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
You were buying the equivalent of an arcade machine.
No fucking
And the consoles, like, I swear to you, they're like this fucking chonky.
Yeah, man. The game covers are like this huge. They're like thick, they're big, but it's an arcade machine, quite literally.
Holy
arcade
fuck.
Perfect. Yeah, it had little no load time.
And it was arcade what perfect. What was the controller? The play thing sort of just a game board, but
it was more like you had a controller. It was almost in the vein of, how can I explain their controllers? They were not clunky. They were very.
Picture like controllers of the era, there's a lot of variation there.
Yeah, it's very much a cross between like a Nintendo and a Sega controller. Building a game was fairly quick, so you could pump out shit on an annual. Was no problem for them. So King of Fighters became an annual fighter.
Fighting games are almost like sports games, and those come out annually.
In a sense, what they would do with their annual releases with that, they would shake up rosters or change move sets to just keep things kind of fresh, or update moves even, or give just new moves altogether, right? As the story would progress, they would kind of reflect that in their characters. Their heyday was being between 94 and 2000, with 99 being probably the last and probably best entry in the series. King of Fighters 98 and 2002 are, I believe, like dream matches and are not canon to storyline whatsoever. So like when they wrapped up their storyline in 97s, right? 98 was like dream match. So they literally took even all the dead characters and just kind of into the roster, so you just had fun playing. So there's no storyline. It was just literally, that one was literally all fan service. Like, you like this guy, we put him in the game because remember him? Cool, he's back because reasons.
We say
have
so.
Fun. Yeah, just have fun, right? So let's get started. So it all starts, this is pretty much the Phantom Menace of the whole thing. This is Art of Fighting. Yeah, this is like the book one of the series. Art of Fighting is also a 3-game series. Its main plot would follow the struggles of the Kyokugin Karate Dojo and his current and only pupils, Ryo Sakazaki, son of the founder and creator and owner of Kyokugin Karate, which is, I think translates to extreme style. And his father is Takuma Sakazaki. And the other is Robert Garcia, who is a wayward son of a billionaire family from Italy. They are literally modeled after Ryu and Ken of Street Fighter, although just swapped. So,
oh my god.
So the Japanese dojo man is now blonde, and the rich guy is now brown-haired, brunette, long-haired, and such. Yes.
That's hilarious. The pastiche, yes. The homage, if you will.
I'll get to all of that soon. Don't worry. There was a beef between Capcom and SNK for a good while.
So I started to get over that. Fuck.
Yeah, I'll get to that. The first two games are set in the fictional South Town, a common location and major setting for the Fatal Fury series. The plot of Art of Fighting alludes to Fatal Fury a whole lot. Art of Fighting 1 takes place in 1978, although this is sometimes retconned to kind of match the characters from, keep characters from aging with later releases until like the company just, decides to like, hey, let's just realize them and naturally age them up. So then, they kind of progress things, but sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Ryo and Robert set out to find Ryo's kidnapped sister, Yuri Sakazaki. She is modeled after Sakura of Street Fighter Alpha, who had been kidnapped by Mr. Big, resident crime lord of Southtown. Now, Yuri, she can fight, but she was just overwhelmed. Don't get me wrong.
Right. She was a king
kidnapped
of fighter.
By a candy bar?
Sorry? Mr. Big the candy? Yeah, you know what? Yes. He practically, you know what? hold on to that joke because that's going to come into effect a little bit later on. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So Yuri's no pushover, but she still got got.
But she got, yeah, she got got. So Mr. Big had her kidnapped to entice Takuma to work for him as an enforcer after Ryo, the son, refused to do so once before. After defeating Mr. Big, Ryo and Robert face off with the mysterious Mr. Karate. He is Takuma, father of Ryo and Yuri. Dun dun dun. Of course, he's Mr. Karate. He's wearing literally the same fucking clothes. He's just wearing a mask.
Dad, what the hell?
A mask
Bird
that has
dad is back.
Some cool, yeah, exactly, with some cool ass hair. Yes. This serves as sort of an in joke, but is also canon. Is a canon alter ego of Takuma and Ryo. And the power behind that Tengu mask, or the alter ego, I should say, is equal to that of Akuma of Street Fighter. This event would be referenced to throughout Fatal Fury and King of Fighters, and is commonplace as the beginning of all events preceding. The fall of Mr. Big changes a whole lot of things. Art of Fighting 2 takes place a year later, 1979. Geese Howard. Put respect on that name. Remember that name, okay?
Geese?
Geese. Rising star in Southtown's criminal underworld. He gathers 12 fighters, both vets and newcomers to Southtown, to a tournament dubbed the King of Fighters. His motives are to use the tournament to hire enforcers for his criminal empire. It is revealed that Geese Howard murdered his former sparring partner, Jeff Bogard, master and teacher of Hakyokuseikin martial arts and adopted father of both Terry and Andy Bogard.
Oh, Terry, Jeff
happened to be good friends with Takuma Sakazaki. Geese is defeated in this tournament. Geese. But his criminal empire evolves into partial legitimate business and becomes the Howard Connection. Terry and Andy are left orphaned again.
Again,
they were double adopted orphaned. Beforehand. Yep. At the ages of 10 and 8, Terry and Andy witnessed Geese murder Jeff. Not long after, the brothers would lay waste to the thugs of Southtown by fighting to survive. Their journey starts here. Terry gains confidence after wasting a whole biker gang at the age of 10 on his own. Andy follows his brother's footsteps. Yes, you heard me clear as day. Age of 10 years old, Terry takes out a biker gang by himself.
So this kid's just lethal. Oh dear.
Yes.
This kid comes in Swiss Army packaging.
It begins. It is revealed that Geese was also behind the events of Art of Fighting 1 and has set Mr. Big as a figurehead boss. So he literally was the candy bar.
So the bird was in charge all along.
All along. While he continued to orchestrate crime by being Southtown's police commissioner. Geese.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Geese has been at work, man. Art of Fighting 3 takes place in fictional Glass Hill of Mexico. This one has little to do with the overall plot.
It's a filler arc, is what it is.
You got it. Right on. Now,
not even the video games can escape filler arcs.
Listen, I've got this sneaking suspicion that, you know, these allusions to anime are going to become kind of pertinent real soon here.
Oh, no.
Fatal Fury 1. Legend of the Hungry Wolf. That is a full title.
Wait. Sorry. Pardon me if I'm, jumping the gun here, but, like, is this where the Bust-A-Wolf? I've heard Bust-A-Wolf too many times to not recognize its origin.
Fatal Fury chronicles the rise of Terry Bogard, the Hungry Wolf, and the fall of Geese Howard and his criminal empire of by Terry's hand. Taking place in 91... Geese, now a kingpin of crime, hears of Terry and Andy's Bogard's rise on the streets. He schedules his King of Fighters tournament early in hopes of luring the brothers in to coerce them to work for him. During their years in the streets, the brothers had separated to form their own...
Taking the shit out of everybody.
Exactly. The brothers had separated to form their own paths. Andy took to the Shiranui Ryu ninja arts and became the love target of one My Shiranui for those who were good girls and boys.
This is the character who's not smashed because, she's too well endowed.
Because Smash Brothers is for good girls and boys only.
That's correct.
She heard there was a dress code and decided she didn't want to come.
Exactly, but I was about to say My Shiranui is also for good girls and boys. So, all right. Terry lives the life of a man living on the lam and took to the street fighting as a way of life. Terry would take up the Hakyokuseikin martial arts to the streets. But also sought out Tung Fu Ru, an old friend of Jeff Bogard's and teacher of Jeff Bogard, who knew both Hakuo Kuseiken and Bajiquan martial arts. The brothers would meet Muay Thai superstar Joe Higashi, of Japanese origin, at their father's grave, and the three would become the best of friends. Joe initially went to their father's grave to kind of encounter them, kind of get an early fight in, but saw that they were really respectful men, so he was just like, "Nah, I won't do that to them." After telling Joe his
fist fight you on your father's grave,
exactly. Right after telling Joe his motives for joining the KOF tournament. Joe sets his sights from Terry to everybody else because Terry is now his homeboy, and he's just like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna help you fight crime in your town." So
the rest the of brothers yous, and their except for this guy, mm-hmm. the rest of yous can catch these hands.
The brothers and their respective friends would come together and watch each other's backs during the tournament, becoming a fucking deadly quartet. Tung Fu Ru would also join the tournament just to kind of give his students a hard time, a la Master Roshi. And the rest was Geese's henchmen made up the rest of the tournament roster, to be honest with you. He just kind of filled in the gaps just to kind of lure these kids in to kind of get them hired, right? As it went down, Joe lost to giant and deadly wrestler Raiden.
Raiden's on screen. That dude looks like just a better drawn version of Bouncing Boy.
The thing about him is if you ever catch his game sprite's fucking huge. Terry and Geese would struggle, but Terry would land a surprise jump kick, which knocks Geese over the railing of his penthouse balcony. Geese's body is never recovered. He just disappears. Yeah. The tournament is now international and spans worldwide. In the end, Krauser is defeated by Terry, naturally, but it is revealed that Geese lives and is in search of an ancient scroll that will teach him the world's most deadliest and unstoppable martial art.
Mm-hmm. Somehow Geese returns.
Geese is back and he's mad.
Now, Fatal Fury 3, being a kind of filler, Tay deals with these events. Terry eventually prevents Geese from obtaining the scrolls, but Geese gets away to live another day. Nothing resolved, really. Geese. Exactly. Geese. The game series would change and be rebranded as Real Bout Fatal Fury. The intent with this was to tie up loose ends. In its first installment, the final and decisive battle between Terry and Geese ends here. We return to Geese's penthouse rooftop, in where everything began. It is here that Terry's rage culminates. Geese states to Terry, "I will stain my hands with your blood," and then proceeds to throw Terry's hat at him. Terry would put his hat on and only mutter, "Geese."
With a deadly growl.
In the end, Terry would power geyser Geese over the side once again. Terry reaches over and grabs for Geese, holding him by the hand. Geese then pulls himself to tell. Terry pretty much tells Geese to kind of pull himself up. Geese looks at Terry, smiles. Pretty much says, "Fuck off," kicks himself out of Terry's grip, and falls to his death, laughing all the way down.
Geese's what a dick!
Body, yep, Geese's body is recovered. He is well dead. In the follow-up series, Garou, Mark of the Wolves, it is revealed that Geese sired a son, Rock Howard. But I'll get back to that. So now you know all about Terry. Part of Terry's appeal is that he's a vagabond, much like Ryu. He just lives
in
he's homeless, but he lives by a moral compass. And he avenges all his loved ones. He's practically a hero figure. When you play his team, he's in the U.S. In one game, he's in South America, just cause. When you look for Terry, Terry's somewhere else on the map living because he literally travels the world, period, all the time.
Right.
Where the fuck is Terry?
Yeah. So it's just little bits of lore that. So like when you went to South America, that's where you ended up with the fucking monkey, right?
Where in the world is Terry Beauregard? Yeah,
Beauregard, exactly. So like, they treat their characters with like actual people and give them like actual storylines in between games to kind of just change things and you see things on screen. It's never the same thing.
Their lives,
right?
Their lives happen off screen sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what is King of Fighters? The King of Fighters franchise and format changed in 1994. Hmm. They introduced the team concept. Players pick a team of three. It would be three characters that you like or an official preset team. So you'd have the option of playing Team Japan, Team Fatal Fury, Team
New America, Faces. Fuck oh, yeah.
Right, or exactly. Or you could take, you know, each individual character from each team and make a preset, you know, your own three-man team of whoever you wanted, whoever you like.
Or
right?
If your name is Masahiro Sakurai.
Terry. Just one Terry and two people to back him up, and that's about it. The in-canon reason for the concept change-up was that Rugal B. Bernstein, this is a terrible name. Rugal Bernstein is a I want to say half brother to Wolfgang Krauser. So these three men were all
fucking
related.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
Weird though.
Yeah, exactly. He now runs the tournament internationally. So, and the game would be a first in that it would pull characters from all their franchises into one fighting game. So you had Fatal Fury, Art of Fighting, Ikari Warriors, some other stuff in there, a big old blend.
Now that you've got King of Fighters, you can bring them all in, and who cares? Just bring fan favorites.
Right? Or resurrect an old IP that hasn't been getting much popularity. So like Ikari Warriors, which was like a running gun, in a sense, right? Yeah. You turn your characters into fighters, and everybody's like, what's Ikari Warriors? You go back to the catalog. Oh, that looks like a fun game. You play that game. Right. Smart.
Love increasing sales.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One notable team, of course, is Team Fatal Fury. However, Mai Shiranui would be an interchangeable member and headed her own all-women team for a few games. So she would team... Exactly. So the dream team for the Femme Fatales would have been Mai Shiranui from Fatal Fury and both Yuri from Art of Fighting, because she had made her first essential entry. And I believe her name's Todo, or that's her dad's name, sorry. I can't remember his daughter's name, but she's usually on the team, or she's interchanged with a female bouncer named King, who is sweet shit, because King, I have a deep, deep bond with King, because like her moveset is one, the best offense in the world. I dare someone to try to fucking, yeah, it's good luck to you. And two, at one point she was labeled, I think, she's a kickboxer, so I think she was kickboxing champion, and so Muay Thai is cousins to kickboxing, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so she has a, well, not her, but Joe Higashi, who I told you about before, carries an impartial beef because he believes Muay Thai is stronger than kickboxing, and he always tries to show her up. But to this day, yeah, Joe Higashi and King, when they fight, it's always a draw.
Damn.
So he can't get one over her, and she's just doing her thing, dude.
What about it?
So she's one of the sickest characters ever. So that's the dream team for the Femme Fatales, man. Rugal's initial scheme was to lure fighters, defeat them, and turn them into stone statues. Kind of lame, huh? New star, Kyo Kusanagi, searches for his father, who may have been turned into a statue. In the following year, 1995, it's revealed that Rugal survives his own ass-kicking and revenge. Seemingly coming back from the dead, in King of Fighters 95, Rugal walks again. KOF 95 introduced the concept of the Orochi Demon, which would become the central plot of KOF for the next two following games. Now, this is where it gets fun. Kyo Kusanagi was SNK's newest poster boy. Japan had gone through a cultural change with issuing of a new era. I believe it's either Showa or after Showa. I can't remember.
Yeah, the emperor died and we entered into a new one. Got it.
Gone are the days of...
White boy.
Right, exactly. To showcase this change and shift in power, KOF 96 is hosted by a woman named Chizuru Kagura, who seeks to recruit allies, mainly Kyo and his rival Iori, who had been introduced the year before, as nothing more than a polar opposite foil, who are now descendants of the three divine vessels, including Kagura herself. It is revealed that centuries ago, Clan Kusanagi, which is Kyo's family, Clan Yagami, which is Iori's family, and Clan Kagura, Chizuru over here, stopped the Orochi snake dragon demon from ravaging the world.
Deep Japanese lore. Like, it's a Yamato no Orochi. Like, it's the great demon snake, per se-ish.
Yeah, exactly. Before defeating the demon, it had spilled blood amongst some humans.
Uh-oh.
Contingency plan. Throughout the gameplay, you learn on the roster who has Orochi blood coursing through them. So let me just tell you something right now. So the games before, you had little clue-ins, because the storyline was building, but you were not aware until we're told the story was happening. So then you kind of went back to old entries and were like,
oh, fuck.
Yeah. So much so that one would have to go back to for some clues. The reveals for those who had Orochi blood fucking wild. And I have reveals right here for you. And some of these are characters that I've named already. Some of them are not. So the first biggest reveal for those who are fans of King of Fighters. So the first biggest reveal... a character named Yamazaki. He is a mob enforcer and is fucking hella cool. He learns of the Orochi blood when Iori confronts him. He reveals that he could feel it coursing through him and that the ride of the blood constitutes his state of murderous insanity. Yamazaki also says that instead of succumbing to it, he uses the Orochi to fuel his insane rage and not the other way around. During the rise of the Orochi, he is rebuked by the clan and the Orochi blood is removed. Yamazaki made his first appearance in in Fatal Fury 3 as a sub-boss Verghese. And even then, but you didn't know that it was Orochi-fueled-ish back then.
He's like, yes, I do have magic demon snake blood, but that's not why I'm evil. It just makes me better at being evil.
That's correct. Yamazaki is cool. Now, let me just give you a little rundown of how cool this guy is. So when you play against Yamazaki, or if you play, first off, he's always just like a gangster. One and always. So like, usually he starts off with a fur, like a fur coat on. He throws it off. He's got this cool haircut on. One hand in pocket always.
With the fur. Yeah, got it. Okay.
Yeah. He has one hand in pocket at all times and fights with either a knife in some movesets or just his bare hands. But he always has only one hand. And because he wants to make it fair for you.
That's rude.
He fights with one hand. He's totally evil. He's got a moveset where he stomps, he curb stomps you quite literally. He's bad news. Yeah, Yamazaki's cool. Yamazaki's cool. Second biggest reveal. Three fighters, who are also a traveling band, consists of Chris, a young musician kid, Shirmi, a female lead, and Yashiro, the muscle and drummer. It's revealed that all three portray themselves as seemingly innocent, but were guided by the Orochi demon to do its bidding. The subterfuge here was the subterfuge here was fucking amazing because all three of them look non-malicious. Fuck.
Okay, so Shirmi, Yashiro, and Chris, are they meant to be red, white, and blue? Like Team America? Like,
not necessarily. They're just given a color set to just kind of one off each other so they don't blend too much. Yeah.
Got it.
Just a strat. The third biggest reveal is probably one of my favorite reveals too. Leona of Team Ikari Warriors. Seemingly put on a team, on a hero team. Leona always walked with an edge, but you could just consider that badass. With Orochi on the rise, the Rite of the Blood triggered in those susceptible to it, including Leona, being one of those of the Orochi blood. In King of Fighters 2003, when the Orochi seal is slightly damaged after being sealed away, Leona's Rite blood activates, and she turns on her team again, badly injuring both Ralph and Claire. Pretty bad.
Fun though. That's some drama.
Yeah, when you see her kind of through the years, you kind of see, it's fun because you could see some things happening where her moveset's kind of like allude to Orochi blood, and you're like, was that a thing, or is that just
weird?
Her being just kind of edgy, or is that? But no, she is one of them, and she was when her reveal went off, snaps, and like you have to if you play Team Ikari Warriors in their storyline, at one point you lose Leona on your team,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you have to fight against her as Ralph and Clark. Fourth and final biggest reveal, Iori Yagami and his whole family.
That dude looks cool as fuck.
Weren't
they anti-snake?
Mm-hmm. It is revealed that Iori as ties to Rugal Bernstein, who set up Iori with two trusted confidants, Mature and Vice, who are two deadly women, and Orochi assassins, who are also fueled with that blood. Rugal learns that he was just truly a pawn, and that his Orochi blood will be consumed by Orochi, and that he will never be a god. He is killed by Mature and Vice. Iori's Orochi blood activates, and he becomes insane, and this is in brackets, insane Iori with blood of Orochi under the Night of the Moon. That's the full name.
Kind of extensive.
But for translation purposes, we'll just call him Rampaging Iori.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Easy. Nice and simple. Yeah.
Right. There you go. This is the deadliest version of any Orochi hope whatsoever. Iori succumbs fully and becomes a relentless killing machine. He would kill Mature and Vice, effectively killing and ending Team Rugal and Team Yagami. Yeah, he killed everybody.
Dear.
Yeah. When he transforms into that, instead of his usual formation, he is lurched over. He foams at the mouth. His eyes are wide and yellow. And his movesets are frame broken. They cancel a frame out to make him faster.
They don't move right.
Yeah. So, like, good luck facing him.
Man's whole corrupt.
Yeah, it's bad news. His personality is strange in that he dislikes violence, but he's really good at it. That's why the Orochi blood really works through him. But he would rather write and perform music. Blood Orochi Iori is the only character that, once the blood is activated, the character moveset changes and is only unique to only him and is not copied by anybody else. And you could only get it through wild, like rampaging Yori, period.
He's fucking special is what he is.
Yeah, yeah. So in the end of that plot, Chris becomes the host body for Orochi. The demon doesn't see us as beneath it, but must destroy us as its own duty. Nothing more. Nothing personal. It's just business. The demon
nothing
isn't
personnel,
destroyed,
kid.
Right? The demon isn't destroyed, but sealed with the sacrifice of Chizuru Kagura. She kills herself, sealing the demon in one last time. Yes, the Orochi plot ends here, sort of. And King of Fighters 90 is no more than just a dream match come back just for shits and giggles. King of Fighters 99. Mm-hmm. King of Fighters 99 would shift the focus from Kyo to K-Dash, a mysterious fire welder. K-Dash is an escaped clone from a group called Nests. Now, I warn you, clone stories, it begins.
Oh,
man.
Mm-hmm. We know how that goes.
The King of Fighters clone saga.
You got it! The story falls apart from here, with a plot that includes clones and trying to resurrect Orochi through cloning. But in the end of it all, Nests, which is the evil group, uses a giant satellite laser and destroys all of Southtown. Kiryu's home is no more. It would take time, but for the remainder of King of Fighters, Southtown would seem to be destroyed. And you would be seen as destroyed like no man's land, then in repair, and then back to former glory in later games. In later games, we're introduced to a whole new generation of fighters. And to be honest with you, the storyline loses a lot of people from here, including me, because it just becomes very meh. But it introduces Ash Crimson. Ash Crimson killed the franchise.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So what
I
happens
like their
when you have...
Though.
Their design is wicked, trust me, don't get me wrong. And it's so what happens when you have one too many fire users?
You're just having a bad time.
You get low.
You gotta start developing water users.
Funny. You get low, like Street Fighter, when you have too many Shotokan, when you have too many, you know, Ryu, Ken, Akuma, Sakura, right? Sean, even to a degree. This when it becomes one too many, it becomes stale. So Ash has fans, don't get me wrong, but not enough to gain love all over. They have a following, I would say, right? Okay. They have a following. Ash has a following.
They're a pretty anime fella.
I like Ash in that I like playing as Ash. Mm-hmm. Ash's moveset's cool. It's no different than the playing Kyo or K-Dash. It's Fire Welder, right?
Right.
They're unique because they have green fire. It's different, something else. They have different moves unique to them as well.
Yeah.
But like I hate fighting against Ash Crimson because that shit's hard as shit. I have
it's
a love
like
for versing
Ashima. Like Luigi.
Oh, fuck
yeah,
Luigi.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly...
The computer always knows what to do with Luigi, but if I play Luigi, I'm fucked.
That's actually the best description you could have given in terms of conveying annoyance, and also really rude. That's
listen. It's Ash Crimson. Ash Crimson equals Linguini Luigi.
So here we are at the at a time where King of Fighters no longer goes with the annual numbering, but by conventional numbering. Drop the I think the annual numbering by I think 2003. Rock Howard. Son of Geese House.
Geese.
He was the main star of Garou and as a badass character. And Terry, which makes him a really good fighter. The retcon here, and yes, they will have retcons.
Of
the retcon
course.
Here, yeah, is that after defeating Geese. And Geese decided to end himself. Terry leaves, but before exiting Geese headquarters, comes across a young boy who had witnessed the fight. Not wanting to leave the child there and knowing full well that Geese. Terry takes the boy and illegally adopts him. The two would travel the world together until Terry eventually settles down in Southtown, taking fights to help feed the boy and send him to school.
I'm sorry. He really went, I'll kill you and steal your son.
Hey. First and foremost, Terry's like, I didn't know he had a kid. I wasn't even trying to kill him. I was just trying to take him to jail. He killed himself, and now I got and now.
And I accidentally stole his son.
I can't leave him here, so I'll take him. So
I can't believe Terry got himself a Robin.
Yes. And he trained him in both. And because Terry knows, because Geese knows a bit of Hakyo Kuseiken as well. but like knows like the other more violent side of it. Tiri knows both, and so taught Rock both, essentially. Mm. So Rock was designed to be very shonen, which I know is up Red's alley. So he's less bulky. to change the rosters, he was done to change the roster from looking to take a main protagonist from looking like big and bulky to more of a slender look, more approachable, and to gain the girl audience
and some boys,
because beautiful boy action sells. Okay,
dude, you're goddamn right it does. Okay.
So further retcon, although not official, Rock would be the son of Geese Howard and Marie. Sometimes named Lily. From the anime, a captive concubine. Sorry to say, seen in the Fatal Fury anime movie, Tiri and Lily would fall. Geese kills her before Tiri can free her. I speak of Rock because he's becoming the DLC fighter for King of 15.
So, yeah, I believe he's the first DLC fighter for King of the brand new.
Yeah, which is needless to say gonna put the crowd fucking wild because he's one of the most popular characters to come out in the last little while from SNK. So. Yeah, man, I'm happy to see him thriving because he was probably one of the most used characters in Capcom versus SNK 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Just to showcase his popularity and alone from his own game. But yeah, man, you know, that's about it, y'all. That is King of Fighters
King of Fighters in a nutshell, yeah. Alright. Thank you so much for walking us through all of King of Fighters. Well,
give you some. The back half is about cloning, and I'm not getting into that.
Yeah,
I appreciate your mercy.
The pre-clone saga, King of Fighters.
But so we get everything from basic, I'm gonna fight a gang, to
I'm fighting the
snake
demon
from the beginning of time is trying to kill us all.
Yeah,
and also there are clones at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is the best way? Because I know that the games are, you know, there's versions of the games on the Switch as like the Neo Geo Pocket Collection, things like that. Like, what is the best way to get into King of Fighters?
So there's many ways to get into King of Fighters if you want to consume gaming. Like you said, you have all options to go through. If you want to look through anything more animated, there are three cool movies. There's Fatal Fury, Legend of the Hungry Wolf, Fury 2, and Fury the Motion Picture. I believe all three are available on Tubi and I think Retro Crush for free, so do check them out. And you can also catch on YouTube, they have, I believe it's called King of Fighters Another Day, or New Day, I can't remember what it's called, I have to pull it up again.
King of Fighters Brand New Day, yeah, got it.
Right, it's
Better
on there.
One more day?
Right, it was the anime, it was a short web series on YouTube for free. That was, I think, an insert for King of Fighters Maximum Impact.
Perfect. If you want to converse with us on Twitter and ask us our opinions on King of Fighters 15, if and when we pick it up, you can find us on Twitter at Crusade Nerd, on Instagram at Nerd Crusade. You can find our sister shows, The Monday Night Mixer, and we also have our Itty Bitty Nerdy Committee, where we do a nerd news roundup of all the biggest news from across the Nerdiverse. With that in mind, we will see you all later.
And that's to be continued. The Wolf!
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this video, go ahead and button mash a thumbs up. If you want to swing by when we have a new video, web up the sub button. Oh, and while you're at it, hit the bell to be notified by. Oh, no!